the way I'm feeling it this week. Job 19 verse 25 is a familiar passage, well-known passage. I know. That my Redeemer lived. But before we celebrate, I just want us to take a look at how Job got there. And I'd like for my young people to follow me closely today. Oftentimes in school, someone might ask you, what church do you belong to, or why do you believe in God? Do you ever met some smart Alec like that? Why do you believe in God, as if they know something you don't know? And your response, because my parents do, or because my church says so, or because my pastor said it. I'd like to dismiss all those answers today. We want to leave this place today knowing, not just repeating, but knowing. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me that God will open my mind and control these lips as we pray for a word today. Father, we are so, so grateful to be in your house. There is nothing like corporate worship when the people of God come together in his name, in his house, to call upon his name. Father, I pray that you will draw near to each saint this morning. Pray that you will give us that which we need, whether it's to run an extra mile or another marathon. Be glorified in your house today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most memorable Bible texts, powerful Bible declarations of faith, is found in Job 19:25. I know that my Redeemer lives. But what many people might overlook is how long it took Job to get there. Before we reach that moment, Job lost his wealth, his children, his health, he sits in pain and confusion. Friends misunderstood him, and the most challenging part for him was God was silent, has been silent. And all of that unfolds over 18 chapters. Young people, I for my past number of sermons, I've been focusing on the young people. Adults, I do not want us to get jealous if I prepare the meal and it's just fries and fries and wings. If it's just a children's meal, I'm going to ask you, just let's all partake. I tell the story when the children were babies, when I, you know, became a new father. And of course, when I go shopping for baby food, I taste the baby food. I sometimes eat the baby food. I buy the ones that taste good to me just in case they don't want it. It's not going to waste.
Praise the Lord.
And so I'm going to ask the adults not to let this meal go to waste today. Young people, sometimes your greatest statement of faith comes after a long season of confusion. You are seeking clarity, and it's not coming. You notice I said a long season of confusion, not a short one, a long one. We live in an age where everything happens fast. I overheard Grandma Luke, I think, last night, where Luke wanted something fast. And she straightened him up and said, "Not so fast. You're going to wait." And sometimes God takes us through long seasons where we are trying to figure something out. You've heard different answers, but something is missing. When I was in school, one of my degrees was math. And I remember this particular class, the teacher gave a problem. And it was due within a week. That's how challenging it was. And my friends, they came together, and we were in the library, and after 2 hours, I told the guys, I'm going to bed. What I did was to memorize the problem and just go to sleep. And about three nights, I'm not Daniel now, but after about the third night, while I'm sleeping, our brains are working. And finally, the solution came, and I woke up in the night and just wrote the entire thing. But Job's situation wasn't like that. His clarity didn't come after 3 nights or 3 years. You see, it's easy when, and let me just say this about borrowed beliefs or secondhand beliefs. They are important. Everything that we have today as it relates to faith has been handed down to us. The story of Adam and Eve, the Bible, Abraham, you know, whatever he received from his foreparents, he handed it down to his children and so forth. And here we are today as a church. It's good to read the scripture. It's good to believe in the scripture. But it's a total different story when we start believing and acting upon the word of God. What do you say? Amen. Young people, today we hear many voices from social media, friends, culture, fear, you name it. Not every voice speaking into your life, not every voice speaking in your life knows your story. They might know a paragraph or two, but I'm here to tell you that God knows the full story. Not every voice speaking into your life knows your story. Job's friends were confident, but they were wrong. One of the most important spiritual skills you can develop is learning which voice to listen to. Great skill. You know, I've said this before. We, as Adventists, we in terms of the personality traits, the peer is you're either a judge or perception. A judge makes decision fast, and most church people are like that. We jump to conclusion quickly. But a wise person is perceptive. Learn to listen or to differentiate or to find that voice that is full of wisdom. If you listen to the wrong voice long enough, they will convince you that your future is hopeless. They will convince you that your past defines you. They will convince you that God has abandoned you. One of the songs I love to sing when we start out in worship at my home is, "I'm so glad that Jesus loves me." You see, church, if we are working to earn God's love, then there is something wrong. But we must get it in our heads, Sister McLean, that Jesus loves us. He loves you and I just as we are. And not only that, while we were enemies, while we were his enemies, he died for us. Then what much more now? Children of faith, we must get it within our system that it's Jesus loves us. If you listen to the wrong voice, young people, they will convince you otherwise. But the truth is, God is still writing your story. You know, sometimes we think we are so in charge and so in control. But God is the architect of our story. And when God is the architect of your story and my story, we can go to sleep singing with the songbird this morning that all is well. You see, the work, the hidden work of God, or the work of God was hidden from Job. During these 18 chapters, God working behind the scenes, Job cannot see it. You and I know the story today, but while Job was going through it, he couldn't see the hand of God. His friends couldn't see the hands of God. But the reader knows that God has not abandoned Job. And sometimes our lives feel the same way. You pray, and nothing changes. Sometimes you don't even feel like praying because it seems hopeless. You try to do right and things still go wrong, but faith means trusting that God is working even where you cannot see him. What looks like the end of your story may just be the middle of it. The turning point came after 18 chapters of confusion, no clarity, light bulb. Job made the declaration, I know in the midst of doubt and testing, he came to the realization, personal declaration, not a stated fact, but a conviction, a belief, I know that my Redeemer lives. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I understand everything. He doesn't say, I know why this happened. He doesn't say, I have all the answers. Instead, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. Faith is not knowing all the answers. Faith is knowing who holds the answers. Job's circumstance had not changed. His pain had not disappeared. But his perspective shifted. Saints, all we need is a shift in perspective. In order to make it in this world, we cannot make it by ourselves. But with God, we can. What do you say? Amen. And that perspective made the difference. That perspective made the difference. God cared who Job was becoming. Job's character mattered more than his comfort. Our culture often acts "How can I be happy right now?" But God asks a deeper question. Who are you becoming? The life ahead is shaped by perseverance, humility, compassion. These qualities often form in hard seasons. I'm here to say to us, fix our eyes on eternity. God's declaration points beyond this current life. He believes that one day God will set things right. As followers of Christ, thank you. As followers of Christ, he believes that one day God will set things right. As followers of Christ, our hope is not only in this life, our hope is in eternity. Amen. That perspective changes everything. When you know your future is secure in God, failure doesn't destroy you. Success doesn't define you. Hardship doesn't stop you. You live with courage because your story goes beyond this chapter. Some of us might be in chapter 1 of Job, going through our period of loss. Others might be in chapter 3 and 7 and 14, listening to our friends and the voices of others. Some of us might be dealing with loneliness, anxiety, pressure, depression, disappointment, the silence of God. But remember, Job's most powerful statement of faith came before his situation improved. And could it be that God is waiting or taking us through the crucible to shape us and to form us as we wrestle with or grapple with our faith and our belief and our position in God? He's waiting for us to get to that turning point where we either know and determine to follow him and to cast all our lot with him. Or just maintain some second hand belief. Or borrowed beliefs must become personal conviction. We must know that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We will respond with faith instead of fear, hope instead of despair, perseverance instead of quitting. One day God will look back at your life, or one day you will look back at your life and see that the difficult chapters were preparing you for something greater.
Amen.
I'm here to say to somebody that God is preparing you. The songwriter said, God, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. God is preparing you and I for the final chapters of this life.
Yes.
The final chapters will be glorious. As we prayed on the prayer line the other day that went out for the young doctor with her two infant children. News came that she was in. We started praying the night before. The morning, the bleeding stopped, and there was some improvement. But by the day before the day end, she was gone. Young lady, and now those two children are motherless. Husband is wifeless. The family, there is a void there. But before Job's situation improved, as worms were eating his body, he looked forward to a better day when his Redeemer stands on the earth as judge, and every knee is now bowed before him, and everything is made new. Job looked forward to that day. The final chapters are still ahead. And as we press and move towards this day when the judge stands upon the earth, the sheep on one side and the goat on the other side, may you and I be numbered among the sheep and with the saints go marching in. May our second-hand beliefs become personal conviction, not something we have heard, but something that we know. Our faith is in God, our hope is in God, and we will continue to trust his plans for our life.
Amen. Pastor, we thank you for your word today. And we know that even through our Job story, we can say that we have lived in the goodness of God. Amen. We can all attest that we have experienced the goodness of God. Amen. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice, God, you have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I